Hey, gang, Fraser Smith along with Joe Bartnick from Puck Off. And Joe, we've got a new sponsor. These guys are awesome. SeatGeek.
Oh, man, SeatGeek saved my life, man. Trying to get tickets to events, and I'm, you know, I travel around a lot and I get an off day, and it's like, man, I want to see some hockey. And it's like, what are you going to do? Like, you know, like all the normal sites are like just gouging you. Or you're going to go down, you might get arrested, or just, you know, boom, you only carry around like $300 on the street. You go to SeatGeek, run the computer, boom, punch it in. I got a seat so cheap, I can't believe they can pay to be our sponsors.
It's amazing. And, I mean, I like being arrested, but, you know, SeatGeek. Yeah, you got to love SeatGeek. They have the SeatGeek app, and that is awesome. You know, it's just the whole thing is one of the best experiences I've had in trying to get tickets. This week, my listeners can use promo code PUCK in the SeatGeek app and get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. How about that? SeatGeek is the only place to get your tickets. They have the mobile app. They have sports and concert tickets, thousands of them. And SeatGeek aggregates tickets from every major online ticket site, puts them in one place. All right? And Deal Score tells you what a good deal or a weak deal is for every ticket offered. Okay? That is SeatGeek. It's the only place to go and get those tickets. Download the free SeatGeek app today. Enter promo code PUCK in the app, and SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first SeatGeek purchase. That is SeatGeek, guys. Check it out. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code PUCK today. This is Fraser Smith for Puck Off. We recommend these guys because they are awesome. All right, gang, welcome to Puck Off. I'm Fraser Smith, and Joe Bartnick is somewhere in Connecticut. I think we found him. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm in, still in New York City.
Oh, you're in NYC still.
Hitting Foxwoods this weekend.
Oh, okay. How's New York treating you?
It's treating me fantastic. Thank God I'm in New York because the bar was open till 4 in the morning, and I needed that much time to watch the game last night.
You did, indeed. One of the longest games in history. And, you know, our guest, we have a great guest, by the way, the great Brad Williams. Brad, come
Hello,
on.
Hello, sir. On. Yes. I think the world's first dwarf hockey correspondent.
I think that could be a first.
All right. Yeah.
And a great stand-up comedian, of course, and a Ducks fan. You're right, it's our first Ducks fan, but he was at the game last night.
I was. It was a marathon to say the least. You know, like, here's how fat and lazy you feel. Whereas as a fan, you're watching a 3-overtime game, going, "Oh God, you know, I'm getting kind of tired," and you're not even playing. Like, yeah. like these guys are just going nuts. The shifts were running about. They were trying to keep those guys on in the third overtime for about 40 seconds a shift.
Yeah, probably.
They tried to keep them under a minute. Unless you're Ryan Getzlaff, and then you stay on for about a minute and a half because you're not skating anyway. So it's fine.
Did you notice the guy slowing down at all?
Surprisingly, no. I mean, just because they were keeping the shift so quick, and just the atmosphere in that arena, the Honda Center, which I still call the Pond.
The
Arrowhead Pond of Anaheim was such a better name.
I like
now,
that.
Now it's the Honda Center. Like,
no,
it's named after a compact, well-made Japanese car. No, I'd rather be. It's the Pond.
When you have ducks, you need a pond.
It's where the Ducks play. Yeah. Okay, it's always the Pond to me.
I agree. And it almost went into 4 overtime. I mean, it was late in the 3rd overtime.
Yeah,
they scored.
And you could not see the fans file out of that arena fast enough because they were all just sitting there like, okay, we know this is exciting, we know this is awesome, but holy crap, this is a Tuesday, we've got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the most entertaining thing was not only just the frantic pace of the game, was the soccer goal that was disallowed in the 2nd overtime.
Yeah,
header.
The headbutt.
Yeah.
Or the header. Yeah.
It's so funny when you saw the replay because he headed it in. He jumped up. You have a stick in your hand. You have numerous appendages, and you're like, I got a giant head.
Yep. And
why not?
Yeah, this isn't soccer?
No. I mean, and then that's the only time hockey will ever be compared to soccer because Hockey players certainly never fake injuries like the soccer guys do.
No, they don't.
What an incredible game. And I'll tell you, it really, for Anaheim, who looks like they're having, I mean, obviously have the better team right now with Chicago's defensive no depth whatsoever.
Right.
But winning that game just gives them so much more momentum than if they just would have won in, you know, just in regulation.
Yeah.
Long overtimes are so hard to overcome.
They call it sudden death for a reason. And I'll say, watching that game live, the TV does not do a guy like Patrick Kane justice. That guy is so good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Pretty much every time he was on the ice, the Ducks had a shadow on him. But the shadow can't get too close, because if he gets too close, Kane could go around
him. Wheels around him.
Yeah. So he kind of has to stay off him, but just stay in the moment and present with the guy. But, man.
Kane's playing great now.
Great as Anderson was. And Anderson's first save on Kane with the stick was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Corey Crawford was better.
Crawford had an awesome
Crawford
game.
Was amazing last night.
You know, 56 saves for Anderson, 62 for Crawford.
62 for Crawford. There was one save Crawford made, I think it was the second overtime, or maybe third, where Corey Perry had him dead to rights. It was a behind-the-back pass from Getzlaff. And Corey Perry had him right in the slot. What else do you want?
And
Crawford made an excellent kick save. Got lucky a few times with the posts.
Hit the post a couple times.
The goalie's best friend.
Crowd must have gone nuts.
Oh, we were so – like, here's – I actually – like, I really like playing Chicago for two reasons. One, they're a great team, so it's a really entertaining game. And two, the Chicago fans – Anaheim fans are kind of famous for being lazy and not so passionate. We're forced to step our game up because the Chicago fans are there, and you want to be louder than the Chicago fans just to shut up that accent. Really, that's like Chicago and Boston cheering wise
is the most, very annoying.
The most annoying accent. I think even more than French Canadian, way more.
Duh, Hawks.
it was just horrible. So the Duck fans were good. The Blackhawk fans. There's a lot of Blackhawk fans were there. You know, there's a lot of Chicagoans out here, and they were out in full force, my friend.
Well, yeah, they come out.
The series though. Is really, I mean, Kessler has really taken kind of Taze's line and shut him down, which is kind of what we were picking. We thought the second and third lines would have the advantage for Chicago, but they really have not. Anaheim's bottom lines have really – Anaheim's fourth line has been amazing.
Been great.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
And really been pinning in the Blackhawks, especially, I mean – You know, I knew Timonen was a joke coming from Philly, but I mean,
how dare you, sir?
He should be playing in the old timers game, being Chris Therrien's partner in Philly. I mean, Oduya gave him in overtime. Oduya gave him the puck like five times on a platter, and he couldn't get it out. I thought the dude would go over and hit him in the face with his own stick, just like Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, playing with four defensemen against Anaheim is going to really wear them out. I can't believe. I mean, he's the one that has to sit down. They're going to have to play Chomsky and Rumblad.
Not Chomsky.
I'm pretty sure they're going to sign Chris Chelios to a one-day contract.
He can still do it.
Sure, he's 56, but
he's got to be better than Timonen. I knew Timonen was a joke, but I'll tell you what, Anaheim's got a little problem. I mean. I like Stoner, and he's great at you know cheap shots and hitting people. But sure. I think they need to put Wisniewski back in.
They're trying to get a little more offense from their defensemen, and that's like you look at the role that they have Fowler in, and he's trying to get up into the play more often. And I don't know if Wisniewski's going to do that. He's kind of a thug.
You know, the one guy.
No, but I mean, but Wisniewski won't make. I mean, Stoner made a ton. Is making almost every Chicago goal was a Stoner mistake at some level.
Yeah, that's true. He had the one where he didn't get. He was trying to clear the zone on a backhand and wasn't able to get it out because he tried to clear the puck with as much force as someone making the 72nd move in a Jenga match. just like ever so delicately, and was not able to get the puck out. And,
or yeah, he's taking dumb penalties. I mean, I like Stoner. He brings an edge, but you know, Wisniewski is just such a veteran, you know. Mm-hmm. You might want to put him in there at least for a game to kind of wake Stoner up. But I'm just, and I think I love Getzlaf. He's one of my favorite human beings, one of my man crushes. He's had an up and down series. He's been giving the puck away a lot
so far. Yeah, you're right.
But as someone that was there, and I've always been a critic of Getzlaf in that I don't think he skates hard. But I like to sit high when I go to hockey games. That's the one sport where I don't like to sit low.
It's actually a better seat.
Yeah, and I like to see the plays develop. And I played hockey for four years.
Did you?
Yeah. When I was a kid. So I like to see what they're doing. And Getzlaf repeatedly was he doesn't have to skate that hard because he's always in the right position. He always knows whether he knows when to fall back on defense when the Hawks are running a breakout, when he knows that the Anaheim play is collapsing, or he knows when to attack. And
oh yeah, I'm not saying he's not a brilliant captain and he's smart. I just think he had a few major giveaways the last couple games. That's all I'm saying.
And
I love the man.
And the thing with being in the arena live, the Anaheim fans don't like the Bruce Boudreau system of the dump and chase. They're not a fan of it.
They don't take that.
Yeah, at least from where I was sitting, there were plenty of guys yelling, "What are you doing?" I don't see how you can argue with the results in terms of what the Ducks have done.
Now they've had a great year.
Well, you have to dump and chase and make a team playing four defensemen for a 7-game series pay the price.
Yeah,
and are you thinking
with the huge forwards on the Ducks? I mean, that's the way to. You want to dance around? You're playing right in Chicago's hands.
Right.
That's what they want to do.
They're definitely more of a speed team and more of a finesse team. And with the dump and chase and banging it into the corners, there were some vicious hits last night in the corners.
Well,
and
the Ducks are big; they can hit you.
Yeah, they most certainly can. And it was just the electricity, and I feel sorry for people that don't like hockey. I really do. So someone was having a conversation. Someone brought their wife, sitting two rows ahead of me, and they were talking. And the wife was talking about how she likes to watch baseball more. And I wanted to throw her on the
You're
ice.
Kidding me?
I wanted to turn her into an octopus from Detroit and just chuck her on the ice because it's a 3 overtime game, epic match.
Doesn't get any better than that.
So many close calls. So many close chances. And just nonstop excitement. It truly is. And in terms
playoff
of
playoff hockey is special. Oh, yeah, it's special.
Can't get any better.
Now that's what's cool about being in New York is even the broads here love hockey.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The women know their hockey.
Yeah,
yeah. Women. I mean, the bartenders, everybody, people were even watching the game was 3 a.m. out here, and people were watching it because people are a little tense here because the Rangers got run out of the building.
Man, did they ever. Jump into that other series for a minute. You're right. At Tyler Johnson, we called it a couple weeks ago how this kid's really starting to shine.
Yeah.
And he was unbelievable in that game.
He got a hat trick. I mean, his whole line is playing amazing. And, I give Ben Bishop a lot of flack, and he deserves most of it. But he's made a few saves this series.
In this series, he has. I don't know if they were intentional. Yeah. He made that one stop where he just kicked his leg out. It didn't look like he even saw it, but it was a good save.
Well, he plays around with the puck a little bit, but I'll tell you what. Tampa knows that you can – Henry is unbeatable low. But if you get the puck high, he's not invincible. And that's what Tampa's doing.
And Tyler Johnson's a sharpshooter. This kid can hit, you know. And I think the fastest skater in the game today. You know, he just pulled away from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, you know, Barry Melrose was on ESPN going, if you can pull away from him, you got to be the fastest skater out there.
I'll tell you what, St. Louis has had more, has had like three or four epically bad turnovers in this series.
He did.
I mean, he looks like an old, old man that's ready for the beer league.
Well, I mean, these playoffs truly grind on you. Now, how hard is the NHL brass praying that it's a New York Chicago series, a New York Chicago final, and not a Tampa Bay Anaheim final, just from the fan base perspective?
Well, yeah. New York Anaheim.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy with that. I'd be thrilled with that.
I think they would too.
Yeah, but just like in terms of Tampa Bay's fan base, and I'll probably get some flack on this. I don't care. one of the less enthusiastic fan bases in the NHL, in my opinion. They come out for the playoffs. They've been strong for the playoffs, but
during regular
season, and they already won one. So I'm kind of like, you know, if you're an expansion team and you've already, I know Anaheim has too, but at least Anaheim is in, you know, is at least, I don't know, at least Anaheim has Getzlaf and Perry.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of more of a team.
Yeah, and we dropped the Mighty from our name.
I like that.
So we're good. We're just the Ducks.
I'd go back to Mighty.
Really?
Yeah, man. I liked Emilio Estevez. You know, this Tampa Bay team is good, though, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they...
Victor Hedman is putting on a clinic. As a big defenseman who's moving the puck, playing well, he's protecting the cage and getting in on the offense. He's living up to his number one, two draft status. He really is.
Well, now what do the Rangers have to do after getting blown out like that? Can they still hang with this team? Was that a fluke?
No, I mean they have to get in on the forecheck, throw their big body. Like Kreider's played good. Nash has to show up. You know, they have to grind it out like they always do. And, you know, they have to, you know, the same thing is they have to keep Boyle and Yandle the skirts off the ice. and at least, you know, I mean, at least Tampa doesn't really, really forecheck. And you know, well, you know, the number one, quit taking the lazy, stupid penalties.
Well,
I mean, the trips and the high sticks. And I mean, the Rangers are always in the box. And they're committing the most ticky-tacky BS. They're going to take a penalty, run someone's head through the wall.
Yeah.
You know, don't trip them in the offensive zone.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of penalties in that Duck game last night.
Yeah.
Right?
Ducks got killed with two quick penalties that led to power plays, power play goals.
And they scored on them, yeah.
Yeah, and they scored, and they took advantage, and then the Ducks weren't able to take advantage when they had the power play. So, yeah, those things will kill you, especially in playoff hockey. There was one time there when it was right at the end of the first period going into the second where the Ducks were actually the Blackhawks had a two-man advantage for about a minute 20 seconds.
I saw that. Yeah.
And Ducks had really solid penalty killing there. They really stayed at home, didn't try to take too many chances, kept the puck around the perimeter, and cleared out the middle for Anderson. So I'm loving this Ducks Blackhawks series.
Oh, it's a great series, but you don't want to take those ticky tack fouls.
No, absolutely
you're
not.
Right, Joe. If you're going to take a penalty in playoff hockey, make it worthwhile.
Yeah, there was one. Ducks had one where the Blackhawks had a 2-on-1, and I forget the defenseman, but he pulled the guy down from behind without the puck. But you do that because you're stopping the 2-on-1.
Then that's an understandable penalty.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you're right, Joe. Just the ticky tack fouls. You don't want to cost your team with just a mindless penalty.
Yeah,
I mean that's really what happened to the Rangers. I mean they were in that they were in game two, and then just it was a parade to the box. And I mean the Tampa Bay power play is Hedman, the triplets line, and Steven Stamkos. So I mean, I don't care. You have Lundqvist, you have Waugh, you have Dryden, you know, you have it's like it doesn't matter who your goaltender is. Yeah. They're going to get scored upon. But, I mean, there's no – I mean, I think the Rangers, I mean, basically Kreider, you know, Hayes again, you know, young kid. You hate to put in the young kids, but they're the big bodies. They're the guys that have to get in there and crash. And we've all seen – Bishop gets flustered, you know. I mean, I'll tell you, they ran into Corey – they abused Crawford so much more than anything's going on in the East. I mean, mm-hmm. if they were running into Bishop a couple of times like that, hope he'd probably sprain his knee.
Yeah.
I mean, this is as long as I've seen Bishop play without getting hurt.
Now, can the Rangers handle the speed of Tampa Bay?
Well, that's the thing. You just got, you know, until they change the rules back to the lockout era, post-lockout, just got to get in their way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. They're not getting called for interference. Rangers aren't getting called for interference. They're getting called for those blatant trips.
Right.
Blatant high sticks. Just the laziness of not moving your legs.
Yeah, well, and you trip when you get beat.
Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I'm a Red Wing guy, and we had that same problem against Tampa Bay. They just flew by us, mm-hmm. and we got a pretty quick team.
Right.
So they're fast. And I guess you're right. That's what you do. You try to slow them down.
Yeah, that's the only thing you're able to do in that situation. So,
I mean, the even more amazing. I mean, Tyler Johnson, though, I think 8 of his 9 goals are even strength.
Yeah.
So I'm not. It's not a myth. I mean, he's producing at all levels. He's not doing it, you know, just on the power play.
Well,
and you shut down that line. And you got to take your chances with everybody else. You got to play 5-on-5 against Tampa Bay. You can't make it a skills competition.
Sure, because I mean
you got to play 5-on-5.
Yeah, and if you're taking these stupid penalties, now you're just giving more open ice for those speedsters to get by you, and that's just not going to work out for the Rangers, and they're going to get tired. They haven't come up against a team like this
and
for a 7-game series. It's one thing if you're just playing Tampa Bay once, but to go 7 games, they're not like a Montreal. They're not a banger team that you're just gonna go toe to toe with. You got to keep up with them, and
can wear you out.
You could definitely see New York getting tired.
Yeah. And you can't hide Boyle and Yandel on the penalty kill.
So that's true.
So they're going to be out there. So if you want to give McDonough a breathe, you know, I mean. They're going to run out of gas, too. It really – I mean, that's what makes hockey so great. It is a game of attrition, and everyone's got to play, and it is the weakest link.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the teams
also,
with the weakest links don't win.
Right. It's also styles. You know, if you have a fast team, you know, that takes you far if you're mm-hmm. really quick, because that's what
speed
Tampa Bay is doing. They're just taking everybody out of their game with their speed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Bishop leaves juicy rebounds. You know, Sapons had a pretty good series, but you know, the rest of those guys. And you know, what's funny? I think they really miss Zuccarello. I think they miss his energy and his shot.
Mm-hmm. That's a big guy to have out.
But that's I'm not backing down from my Rangers. Not my Rangers, but I'm not backing down from my pick because I still think they have to keep. I think the thing about the Rangers is how many closeout games have they won when they're like 10-0? Mm-hmm. They know how to win those tight games,
and Henry is going to
be Henry.
Yeah, they've got to look for any advantage possible against Tampa Bay. I think they should have a clear goalie mask on Lundqvist. He's so damn good looking that would actually stop them, and Tampa Bay would stop like they're looking at like the most interesting man in the world, just like
who he looks like with his beard. Yeah.
Yes, so they would just pause for a second. New York needs every advantage they can get.
So how do you see that series going?
I see Tampa Bay as the series gets. I thought if New York could win. Go up 2-0 and make it a short series, great. They'll win. That's what they needed. But the further this thing goes and the more Tampa...
You think they wear them down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Captain, you know, last week, remember when I said I stand by what I said, and I said Rangers in 7.
Yes, you did.
Okay. And remember last week, Wednesday, we went on the air, and we didn't come out till a Friday, and we said... What's going to happen? And I said, the Rangers will beat the Capitals 2-1. And what happened?
You called it, homie.
Rangers beat the Capitals 2-1.
Wait a minute. So you you called the Capitals choking in a must-win situation? How did you do it, Joe Bartnik? What sort of magic is this?
That's why I'm a self-proclaimed expert.
Well, that's funny. Yeah, well, that's how it went down. And now they're embroiled in this thing, and I don't know, man. I pick Rangers to beat Tampa Bay. I don't know now.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because that game was lopsided. Like, there were a couple of, you know, it was an empty net goal at the end, sure, and a couple things. But it still looks to me like what Brad was saying. It looks like Tampa Bay's got them on their heels.
Well, that's what you got. But, you know, they got one. I mean, they got one line. It's clicking. You got to take that line out. You know, that's the one you gear up for. Maybe you put Dominic Moore and, you know, and a couple of fast guys against them. And then you put the big guy Hayes, you put him with Nash to give, like, Stepan two big pillars, two twin towers to work the corners. The Rangers want to work the boards and grind them down.
That's what you got to do.
They got to keep the puck on the wall.
If you're the slower team, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Grind it out.
Yeah, and bang them.
I mean, they just got to win one down there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just got to win 5-7.
Is that all?
It's all they got. Well, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Hey, look at the Capitals. I mean, them and the Islanders, an amazing series. Mm-hmm. They came in all the way and went, Holtby looked like Jesus Christ playing that. But then, you know what? It's lighted down, you know, this and that. McDonough, they get a little this and that. And then, boom, then you're up against King Henry in the Game 7.
Man, I don't know about you guys, but I just really wish that, like, you guys have seen SportsCenter when you're up in Canada, right?
Yes.
The amount of hockey coverage and breaking it down, we get one segment over here with Barry Melrose trying his best to do a Don Cheadle impression. And just like with a weird, sorry, I said Don Cheadle, Don Cherry. I apologize.
How
Jesus.
Hollywood are you, Bradley?
Jesus Christ.
I don't even know who Don Cheadle is.
Well,
yeah.
Don Cheadle would be
I apologize.
Good. He could play Don Cherry in the movie.
But yeah, like he's wearing a funny jacket or something trying to.
Well, they have baseball highlights to show for that Nimrod broad sitting next to you at the game.
But you're right. The hockey coverage is 90% hockey,
yeah.
Even out of season, and that's kind of cool.
Speaking of which, a guy from Sportsnet,
Corey,
we should be talking to him very soon.
Yes, hey, Hello. How are you?
How are you doing? It's Fraser Smith, and Joe is Skyping with us from New York, and we have Brad Williams, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you enjoying these playoffs?
Yeah.
What a game last night, and one of the longest. What does that do to you as a player? I mean, are those guys completely wiped out by that third overtime?
Well, absolutely. They're completely wiped out. Most are dehydrated. You know, but they'll get good fluids in today. The issue is Chicago had to play those defensemen for so long, so I expect that to be a bit of a problem in Game 3.
You know, Joe was saying that he thought that their defense was starting to wear down a little bit.
Yeah, well, how could it not?
They
basically ran with 3.5 guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can see how that went with the shots. Chicago was up in shots by about 15 going into the third period, and then I think the Ducks ended up having maybe 9 or 10 more shots more by the end of the game. So it just did a complete switch around.
Yeah, well, you know, that's right. Chicago looked a little bit worn down there. They won the game, though, and that's one of the longest in history. As a goalie, Corey, what does that do to you? Your nerves must be going crazy.
Well, yeah, I think as a goalie, you kind of just fall into a rhythm. But the nice thing when games get like that is the players actually get so tired that they can barely shoot the puck. So they're shooting the puck most of the time at half speed. That's why it takes so long to score, because the more tired they get, they can't get the velocity on their shots. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't release it as quick. So as a goalie, not that it gets easier. I mean, it gets more mentally draining, but the shots aren't coming as quicker.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hey, Corey. Corey, did you notice that Crawford definitely and Anderson a little bit are getting way more roughed up than the guys in the East?
Yeah, this series has been really aggressive on the goalies, I thought. I think both teams, that's kind of a game plan, is to kind of run through the crease. But, yeah, you're right. It is quite a bit different than the East games. But, you know, that's the style of Chicago and Anaheim. They're big teams. They go to the net. They kind of crash the nets pretty hard.
Now, in this Eastern series, Corey, Tampa Bay won big in the second game. They look like they're really on top of their game, and they're just flying out there. What do you think's happening?
Yeah, they were much better in game two. They weren't very good at game one at all, but the Rangers took some dumb penalties, and you can't put Tampa Bay on the power play. That's really what they wait for. So I expect the Rangers to be a lot more disciplined today.
And not take those bad penalties. We were talking about that earlier. And you're right, against a team like Tampa Bay, you can't do that. What do you think about this kid, Tyler Johnson?
Well, what a surprise that's been. The guy that wasn't drafted, you know, and it's just a great story for guys out there that are kind of just plugging along, wondering if they're ever going to get their opportunity. You know, for Tampa to give him a chance to play, I mean, is a credit to them, because a lot of teams will just, he wasn't drafted, they'll just kind of move them along. But to give him an opportunity to see what he's doing, and especially in Madison Square Garden, it's fabulous.
Now, how does he slip through the cracks, a kid with that much talent?
Well, they just, you know what, some guys just develop later. And it's not so much that they slip through the cracks. It's more that they take a little bit longer to develop, and then all of a sudden something clicks in them, and they figure it out. You know, they figure out what they need to do to be good every night. You know, maybe he was too offensive of a player. Maybe he did kept doing something wrong over and over, and then finally figured it out and started, you know, working on his game and then taking it in a direction where he could be an NHL player. And that's kind of what you're waiting for as an organization.
Uh-huh. So just a late bloomer. And what about his speed? Is he the fastest guy in the game?
He could be. I mean, there's some speedy guys up there, but that sure doesn't hurt him. And I think what teams do is they tend to shy away from smaller players, which, you know, now we're seeing some success with smaller players. So I'm hoping that they teams can realize that, and that, you know, you don't need to, not everybody needs to be 6'3" and 240 pounds to be successful. You're getting smaller guys that are speedy and skilled and can play the game.
I'm 4'4", so that is my life mantra. So thank you very much for that. Now, if you're Bruce Boudreau, coach of the Ducks, what do you say to your team after that marathon game, only to lose it?
Well, what you say is, you know what, you got to be resilient. You're an inch away from winning the game on a few occasions, and they could have won it. So I think early in the series, it shouldn't hurt them mentally very much. You know, if it put Chicago up 3-2, I think then it hurts.
Right.
But, you know, they have the opportunity to recover the rest of the series. So I think mentally they'll be okay. And you know, they really wore out Chicago's defense that last night.
Yeah. Were you surprised to see, I mean, how hurt we thought Corey Perry was, for him then to perform as well as he did for a 3-overtime game?
Yeah, well, we don't know the case of the injuries. That's the thing. Only the team knows. So sure. We don't know how serious it is. You know, so I guess as the series wears on, we'll have to see. But, you know, we've seen lots of things in the playoffs through this. This guy's playing through a lot of pain. So.
No kidding.
I wouldn't expect him to be any different.
What a great player.
Yeah. Hey, Corey, what did you think of Tampa Bay's coach, John Cooper, basically saying that Henry's great down low, but we can probably beat him with the glove? Did you think?
Yeah, well, he probably shouldn't have said anything.
That's what I was thinking.
Why tip him off?
You know, maybe coaches typically, I mean, they know how to play the media game too. So maybe there's something he knows that we don't. So, you know, maybe he's trying to get into the head of Lundqvist. So
sure,
that could be the thing too. You know, most coaches don't say much without it being, you know, a calculated move.
Sure. Maybe.
Yeah. I have two quick questions for you. One's from last week. We missed you. We always love having you. What did you think of Ovechkin making the guarantee? Like, as a player, what does that say? You like, and I know it's kind of like, well, what's he supposed to say? But what do you think when the guarantees are made?
Well, I think it was more, I think the media blew that up. I think he was you know, I think he was caught in a moment where he's like trying to be positive and trying to be confident. You know, he didn't say, go out and say, hey, I'm guaranteeing that we win game seven. He's just like, yeah, and we're still confident we'll win game seven. That's kind of what he said. So
right.
I think that's it was like blown out of proportion a little bit, but you know, he's obviously a good player.
Yeah,
what a year!
I agree with you.
Ability to do that.
Great year.
I have one more question. Today we're going to talk about it later because of the captain's a big Red Wings fan, and the news came down today: Babcock, $50 million to Toronto. And you made an interesting tweet that you think it's not good for the assistant coaches.
Well, no, if a team's paying the head coach that kind of money and you're paying your assistants $200,000-$300,000, okay, so if you got to fire your head coach and he's already making $4 million and you got to go hire somebody else for another $4 million, so you're going to be on the hook for $8 million in coaches' salaries the next year.
Yeah,
you're not going to like get rid of the head coach. You're going to try to hire a different staff around him that you can hope has a better opinion to influence his decisions. And that's how I see it happening. You know, no owner in his right mind is going to let a coach go making $4 million, you know, with 2 years left on his deal, and then go hire another coach, give him a 3-year deal at $4 million a year. So, you know, so you're paying $8 million in coach salary. That's just not good business. What is easy to do? It's easy to fire the goalie coach. It's easy to fire the assistant coaches. Hire a new defensive coach. You know, there's all sorts of ways around it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's why we have him. He's the best.
Yep. As a
Red
Wings fan,
information.
I hate
and
it.
I know he might want to start doing stand up. So Corey.
Yeah, come on, Corey.
Yeah, please, I'll open for you anytime. Let's tour Canada.
Oh my God. You know what? I just want to do it once just to say I did it. And I don't care if I embarrass myself. I just want to be able to do
just
it.
Just wear your pads.
What's that?
You're going to need to wear your pads.
Yeah, I think so.
And
throw anything at me.
And clearly you're willing to come on this podcast, so we already know that you have no problem embarrassing yourself whatsoever.
Exactly. Exactly. I hear you.
Thank you so much,
well,
Corey. You're
thank
the best.
You, buddy. Enjoy the rest of these
awesome,
playoffs.
Guys. Yep.
All right.
Anytime.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Good luck.
No, he's the best.
Yeah, Corey.
Always insight.
Yeah.
Always the best.
Yeah, and that's something that not a lot of people would think about with the assistant coach situation with Babcock.
Yeah. That's what's so great about having him on is, you know, we're fans, we love the game, but you just get that inside knowledge.
Well, and clearly I'm biased being a Red Wing fan, but sure. Why would you go from Detroit to either Buffalo or Toronto or any of those teams that need so much rebuilding?
Yeah.
500 million reasons.
Well,
50 million reasons.
No, but I'd still want my team to be good.
Well, I mean, I'm not familiar with the deal. Are they letting are they giving the Bill Parcells treatment where they're also going to let him shop for the groceries as well as cook the meal?
You know,
well, they have a million GMs up there, and I know Shanny's going to have last say.
Shanny's
so I don't
got
know how much power
problem.
He's going to really have. Personally,
you know, but you know, of course, it's the money. But you know, really, you're going to a team that just is. I mean, Leafs couldn't be in worse disarray.
Yeah, Matt Sundin is and Felix Potvin are not coming through that door. How's that for a '90s hockey reference?
There you go,
come
buddy.
On,
way to bring
that's
it
a
back.
Good. Well, speaking of which, McClellan. The former San Jose coach is moving on to Edmonton.
I saw that. What do you think
that's
of that?
Good for them. And we lucked out. The Flyers got a stooge from North Dakota.
I
Dave
saw
Haskell.
That. A college guy coming into
1975, my friends. 1975.
Now, what do you guys think about that? A college guy going to the pro ranks.
I get that. Eventually, like, you know, that you got to make the jump at some point, but do you make the jump to head coach? You're not an assistant, and it's not like this guy was the coach of Michigan winning back-to-back titles or anything like that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
For all
he won a couple there in North Dakota.
They
boo Santa Claus. They have no patience.
Yeah,
it's a disaster.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Well, why would they go to him when there's so many pro coaches out of work?
Right.
Because they're the Philadelphia Flyers. 1975. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, you know, it's funny because I know the Disco Dan Blasma is still on the market. And what's funny is Simone Dupre played more last night than he did under two seasons with Disco.
Where do you think Disco might wind up?
St. Louis. I called it. Remember, I said he'll probably do really good in St. Louis because mm-hmm. Captain Kangaroo runs it like, you know, like the military. And you get Disco in there to do jumping jacks in the nude and play Stick Boy and Mustache Kid. And then, boom, they win some games.
Yeah. You've always got an issue with him.
Well, he only took Sid's concussion / headache took a great team away. But when you get for 1 year, but when you get a Ginla and you put him on the third line, and when you lose to the Flyers in the first round with an incredibly much better team, and when you get swept in the conference finals, you have no excuse.
All right, say no more. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
I like Disco too. He won us a cup. But, you know, can you win, you know, hey, 7 years ago?
Right. Yeah. It's been a minute. Now, speaking of Sid, he did pretty well in the World Championships.
He's 30-4 in the World Championship, in the World Competition. 30-4. But, you know, I love Jágr won MVP.
I like that.
Of everything. Brett Burns won Best D-Man from Canada. Spezza won Best O-Man and forward. And it was fun to watch. It was great because it was hockey when nothing was on but golf and basketball. But, you know, it wasn't the big boys. Sid, do it against Toews and Getzlaff. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, come on.
How about the Russians leaving the ice?
Except for Ovi and Gino.
Yeah.
It was classless.
Yeah.
They've done classless. It before. What can you say?
Remember they did it before. They did it during that Flyers game. Remember they walked off and then they told them if they didn't go back out, they weren't going to get paid.
Yeah.
They were back out in about 2 minutes.
But that was the middle of the game. This was the anthem.
I know.
But they said, in their defense, those award ceremonies are longer than the Academy Awards.
That's true.
Come on. Everyone gets a trophy. It's like third grade soccer.
Sure.
They got to listen for the band to play them off.
Speaking of trophies, should we do the awards?
Yeah, let's do them. All right. You want to start with Save of the Week?
Save of the Week.
Here we go. What do we got?
Well, going back to Game 7 in the last series, we have the King, Henrik Lundqvist on Beagle. Big save to make it go to overtime.
Right.
Huge save. Then we have, to the new series, we have Hedman laid down across the crease, and he's like 6'5", 240. He's almost as big as Bishop, but he laid down and took away everything. And then in game two, when the game still mattered, Bishop made a huge save. Nash took a shot, rebound, juicy rebound to Jesper Faust, and Bishop made a huge save. And then we have the Anderson save with the stick on Patrick Kane.
That was a great save.
That was ridiculous. And then we have Crawford. I was in a bar watching it. So I missed who took the shot, but Crawford last night stopped, I think, the entire fourth line of the Ducks.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he had some good moments. Yeah,
we had Hans Christian Andersen, the fairy tale that keeps living. He stopped Vermette twice last night.
Yep.
Once on the doormat and then once with the glove.
Yeah.
That was sick. And then to get back to the Worlds, we'll give Mr. Pavlik had a huge save in the semis for the Czechs. And then also last night, Corey Crawford. But Crawford had like 30 insane saves. But Mr. Williams already said it. Perry had him dead to rights.
Yeah,
and he stuffed him.
And he had him with the left pad, I believe. Just a quick save. As much as I love Anderson, and the stick save on Kane was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
If I had to pick, I would just. When you have rebounds, those like when you can see the guy, that's one thing. But the rebounds when you're out of position. So with that, I gotta go with Bishop.
You know what? I was gonna say the same thing for the same reason.
Yeah,
that's right. And so we always malign Bishop on this show, but that was a great save.
It was, yeah. And it's just that, I mean, even the goal that was the game winner last night, I mean, it was a kind of a fluke thing where Anderson has the eye line to the shot's wide, bounces off and just is sitting there right there on the doorstep. So if any goalie can get recovered when there is a rebound, that's when I think those are the hardest saves.
Those
to
are
make.
The hardest. You're right. So yeah, Bishop is
I
our winner.
I agree with all that. Mine goes to Henrik Lundqvist on Jay Beagle. Because without him, I would look really stupid.
All right.
So
well,
thank you.
Yeah, you certainly have a dog in that.
Yeah,
fight.
Yeah, that's right. Major call.
Well, it was a great. I mean, it was a. It's. I get more and more respect for Henry. I mean, you know, I don't know if I want to see him win a cup, but I get more and more respect for him. Yeah. All right, now the goat of the week.
Goat of the week. What are our options here?
Our options here, we go from once again, Game 7, Brooks Orpik absolutely shattered Dan Boyle. Probably would have been suspended for a couple of games, except he was already golfing.
Sure, yeah.
And then we have Game 2 last, Todd Glass. Tanner Glass suckered Schuster. Over the linesman, very flyer-like move. Unclassy, Mr. Glass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unclassy. Then we had last night Raquel just absolutely ran Crawford
Listen,
in the back.
Yeah, but he was that far out of the crease. When you're 35 feet outside the crease and the guy's charging at you.
No, that's fair game.
I don't blame him for that. Yeah.
I know. I don't blame him either. I just think it's great. It just yeah. he's in the mix. No yeah, one's. Yeah. These are not. These aren't antis. These are
okay,
all fun
good.
Ones. We had a Stoner blindsiding Kruger.
Yeah.
Just freight training him. Then we have Stoner cross checking Shaw in the face.
Stoner was getting in it.
Yeah, he's getting
yeah.
in it. We have a one of our favorites, Brian Bickle, just wrestling Simone Dupre. You know the old laundry sale and the sticks, gloves, everything coming off. That was fun. Probably my best pure hit, pure just tone setter. What I was waiting for, what you love in playoff hockey, was the big man, Superman Getzlaff, just absolutely plastered Seabrook game one.
Yeah, they talked about
the
that
ultimate four check.
Yeah.
Just
was,
boom.
Now I saw.
Hey, excuse me, Brett. And then yeah. one from the world, sure. So I got to throw him in, my man, Evgeny Malkin. With the people's elbow on Eichel, the kid who's going to be in Buffalo
yeah.
for the United States.
Now, my question on the Getzlaff hit, because he's had a couple in this series, was this the open ice hit in game one?
It was the one against the boards behind the net.
Oh, okay. He had a couple last night. They weren't necessarily that vicious. I always love the open ice hits. Those are my favorites.
So do we.
They're the hardest to time.
They are, and the hardest to make legal. And yeah. But when you pull them off, nothing stops a guy literally dead in his tracks.
Oh, they're trying to take him out of the game. That's what we're trying to say. Yeah. Save the Scott Stevens hit.
You
got to save
momentum.
Scott Stevens hit.
Scott Stevens was the ultimate.
Yeah.
At that. Well, you know what? I got to vote for Bickle just because it's Bickle.
Reputation does help him in that scenario.
Yeah, I always like Bickle. I don't know why he doesn't do much during the regular season, then he comes alive.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not exactly familiar with the show. Is this like a goon type hit? Is this just a great hit? What do you guys?
It's however,
in the playoffs,
whatever one you like. It's just it's all fun and games.
When
you know?
The playoffs, there's not a lot of fights in the playoffs.
No, there's not.
So we don't.
Yeah, we usually make it like you know it's usually some vicious, malicious thing or just some bullshit thing somebody does.
Yeah.
Or just a good clean. You're on the tracks, you know, kind of like Big Buff usually owns this award.
He usually
destroys
gets
somebody.
Every week. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. I mean, for that reason, I got to say Rackle on Crawford, just because I always look at the goalies as kind of like quarterbacks in the NHL. Yeah. All the rules are done to kind of help them. And when a goalie leaves the crease like that and he's handling the puck.
Open season.
Lay a little shoulder into him. Let him think about doing that the next time. So that one gets my vote.
Right on. Now let's go to the man of the week.
There's really only one guy for this in my book. Of course, you know, these are all pretty impressive things that happened.
Okay, we have once again making us look smart because the captain also had to pick Derek Stepan, Game 7 overtime winner.
Yep.
Doesn't get bigger than that, friends.
That was big.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Tyler Johnson, the hat trick.
That's the hat trick
for Tyler.
I got to go with him.
And then we have Kruger getting his skull cracked in half by Stoner and then the game winner in triple overtime.
That was impressive, too, except to Brad.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Well, I got to go Tyler Johnson, guys, because this kid's he's just busting out as a superstar.
And really, like, legends are made in the playoffs. That's where people remember you, and he's playing his best at the absolute most important time.
Yep.
So I got to agree with you there, Frasch. Do you mind if I call you Frasch?
Not at all, my friend.
All right.
We're old buddies.
I'll go with Tyler Johnson's hat trick as well.
Yeah,
there you go. Look at that. It's been said. Now, here's a special one because I think this is either the greatest Bobby Probert winner ever or the most asinine. But here's the Bobby Probert award this week.
All right, who gets this one?
The ultimate enforcer for the KGB, Vladimir Putin, scored 8 goals in a Russian old man's league last week.
Did he really?
Yeah, 8 goals.
Did he have his shirt off?
There's no bigger enforcer.
Who's hitting him, though?
Yeah, come on.
Who's laying his shoulder into Putin?
Just like Bobby Probert.
Nobody wants to face a firing squad after the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I haven't seen clips of this yet, but I imagine it looks a lot like the clips where they had Mitt Romney fighting Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, probably.
Where Evander's just standing there going, this is a joke. Like, he could totally lay into him if he wanted to, but he's not.
And we were all hoping for that.
Oh, trust me, we were. But, no one's laying into Putin. No one's playing defense. He could have shot it from the other side of the ice, and the goalie would have tripped and fallen.
Eight's still eight.
Ugh,
no. Yeah, but when you're skating alone by yourself and no one's touching you.
Well, then it goes empty. I thought Bobby would get a kick out of that.
Yeah,
so.
If that's the case, I was alone in my hotel room playing the Pittsburgh Improv last week. I scored 8 times, too. How about that?
Well, see? You could have won the award.
Done.
Yeah, let's give it to Brad.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Brad gets the award.
Brad's never been an enforcer.
He's the Probert.
Have you ever been an enforcer
week.
On your team before, Brad?
Well, when I played, I actually was kind of an enforcer because the coach sent me out there, and like I said, I'm 4'4", so he would have me hit the guys. A, I would take out the legs. B, he knew that there would never be any retaliation because the other team was scared to hit me. They thought if they hit me, I would explode into candy or something like that. they weren't quite sure, so.
So you never got a high sticking penalty?
Oh, I got a couple high sticking penalties, but but for me, the ref didn't know how to call it. Like, how do you call a high stick on a midget? It's like you tapped him in the shoulder. Well, yeah, that was a high stick for me.
What was the best part of your game? Were you a scorer?
Best part of my game, I was a defenseman. Best part of my game was I knew how to, like, and this, I played from, 8 years old to, 14 years old, but the best part of my game was passing. I knew how to do this pass where I could flip the puck up in the air and always have it land flat.
Wow.
And I still know how to do that today. So that was a lethal part of the youth hockey game.
That was
the
sauce.
Brad Williams got the sauce
for sure, my friend.
Yeah, that's his hidden.
Well, you got to come out when we play comedy. Well, we haven't done it in a long time, but I know
over at Pickwick.
Yeah, the powers that be want to get back at doing it.
Watch out for Steve Byrne.
Oh, Steve Byrne is so good.
That guy's good.
Him, Ian Bagg is great. Well, Bagg doesn't try because he knows that if he does, he would just lay waste to everybody.
Yeah. Bagg is the Messier of everybody.
Yeah. And then one of the times that I played, it was great because Vince Vaughn got out there on the ice.
How was Vince's game?
I thought he'd be great. Being a Chicago guy, but he had just had back surgery, so he was very nimble out there. Uh-huh. And it was kind of like Putin, where no one wants to be the guy that knocks out the $20 million a picture guy.
No, we don't need that.
Yeah, one piece of information we get to, we talked about it all the time on the show, is The Last Gladiator, the movie.
Okay,
right.
About Knuckles Nylund Netflix,
yeah.
And I watched it. What amazing.
Is it really? I heard
worth
it was great.
All the hype.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing.
Is it a little bit sad, too?
Yeah, you know. If you want to take it that way. I just love those old guys. The best part was he was just an enforcer off the ice, too. Like, he got in trouble for beating up a kid that messed with his daughter.
Wow.
And it was great because he's like, I guess just his eyes were crazy. He's like, I guess the judge didn't have a daughter.
Jeez. Great line.
Wow, that's a good line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, I got to watch it. Everyone's told me about it. Sounds real interesting. I hope it's just more upbeat than the Jake the Snake documentary.
Well, they don't show him smoking crack. So
oh, okay.
I think anything's better than that.
Beyond the Mat.
Yeah, it sounds good. So you liked it, huh?
I loved it. I tell everyone you should check it out now.
All right.
I just see it myself. I heard good things. But it's just all the old guys are in it, too.
Oh, that's
all the fun. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff.
Well, we got to check that. And, guys, as we are almost ready to wrap it up here today, how do you see the playoffs going the rest of the way? Brad, what do you think? The Western?
I think, and granted, I'm a homer, but I think with the 3 overtime game, the Blackhawks won it, but those defensemen are going to be tired. Ducks looked great last night. Couple of bounces. They could have won. They could have won that game in the first overtime. So I'm gonna go Ducks in the West, and I'm going Tampa Bay in the East.
Are you?
The match that Gary Bettman does not want to happen.
It's probably true. Joe, what do you think?
I'm dancing with the girl that brung me. I love the Ducks. Mm-hmm. I love the big guy. I love the big guys. I love their grit. You know, the adorable barbecue Boost Boudreaux still got the Hawks. And, you know, Bishop, the puck will start missing them. And all hail the King Henry.
Wow. So you're going original six.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like to change in the middle of the sea. I go with who I picked.
Good call.
But I was always, the Ducks have always been, and I just think the Ducks are amazing. Yeah. But I just kind of like a little, I just, a little bit, I didn't think teaming in was that much of an old lady, but I mean, you know, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And well, the captain, what do you say?
I got to go Ducks. I think I picked Blackhawks going in. I just like the way the Ducks are. They're big, and they can wear you down. And I think you're right. I think Chicago's defense is getting worn down a little bit there. And in the other series, man, I don't know. That's a tricky one.
Here's what's interesting now, though, and not to cut you off, Captain. Is now the great Joel Quenneville has the last change.
Well, that's true.
So Kane can avoid. I mean, so Taves can avoid Kessler. Maybe Kane can get out again the third and fourth line. Duncan Keith can maybe take a break. Maybe he won't have Kessler on his ass all game. You know, it's gonna. We're gonna see if Joel Quenneville, if he's really one of the couple best coaches in the league. So he's gonna have to really coach his way out of these matchups.
Yeah, that's not going to be an easy one to win for them. But they're both great teams. I guess I go Ducks. On the other one, I think the Rangers figure out a way to get it done. Tampa Bay has been very impressive, but I think King Henry is the difference in the series.
Well, there are the picks. All right.
Yeah,
Brad,
Yeah.
Absolute pleasure having you. Please come back. You're the best.
I will. I've said it before, like, it's not too often you get to talk hockey. It's like this secret club, especially in Los Angeles, where you throw a hockey reference out and if someone understands it, you now have a best friend. You know, because there's not a lot of places you can go and talk hockey. So thank you guys so much for having me.
Brad, this awesome
was a lot
guest.
Of fun. And Joe, I'll say I got a chance to. I had not seen your stand-up before. I saw you a few months ago, and you're a damn monster, my friend. So
thank you. It means a lot coming from you, Brad. Because I mean, you destroy.
Thank you, sir.
Both
it's like,
these
goddamn,
guys.
You destroy. Both so thank you. Thank you. Where are you at next, Brad? Give a little plug.
I'm at the Columbus Funny Bone. Does this come out tomorrow? Or tonight?
Friday.
Oh, Friday?
You'll still be there.
Yeah, I'll still be at the Columbus Funny Bone, but go to bradwilliamscomedy.com for all my dates. Listen to my podcast right here on the Sideshow Network, the About Last Night podcast. We got some great guests coming up. Nick Swartzen's going to be on the podcast.
Great.
We're getting just some great guests. And then watch my special that is currently airing on Showtime, my one-hour comedy special. It's called Brad Williams Fun Size. You can see that. Showtime is re-airing the crap out of it. So just check your local listings.
And he is one of the great stand-up comics. If you get a chance, please go see him. He's amazing.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us,
buddy.
He kills.
We appreciate it. Good luck to your ducks.
Yeah, quack, quack, everybody.
Yeah. Joe, continued success out there and fun.
Yeah,
say
I'll be
hi
back
to the,
next week, Captain. Get the iced tea ready, baby.
And say hi to the gang out there, the Puck Off fans out there on the East Coast.
They
love
everyone
them.
Everyone comes up, we love Puck Off. Where's Frage? I'm like, oh, he's a big shot back in L.A.
I got to get a
Got to be on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. we want to thank you all for joining us. I'm on KLOS Radio 95.5 every Sunday night, 10 till 2. If you get a chance, check that out, please, guys. And thanks for joining us here on Puck Off. We are out!